Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've been doing a sermon series together on renewing your faith in Christ and strengthening your life in Him. And over the last several weeks, we've looked at doing so by means of the Word of God, by prayer, by songs of praise, by Christian fellowship. And this week, we're going to look at doing so by service, by doing good deeds, by laying down our lives for one another as Christ Himself laid down His life for us. And let's take a look at a few verses to start out what the Scripture says concerning good deeds. Starting Psalm 11, it says, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face." Psalm 33, verse 4. It says, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His works are done in faithfulness." We also know in Philippians 2, we're told, do not look only after your own interests, but also after the interests of others. We hear in Titus chapter 3, "But let our people learn to apply themselves, to engage in good deeds, so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful." And then, of course, we know the words of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself in Mark chapter 10 when He said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." So we're talking today about how God renews our lives through service and through filling our lives with good deeds, and also how He renews us to service when we fall away from it. So let's talk about that today. Good deeds. Well, the first thing we can say about that is God says, "It is my will for your life," that it would be filled with good deeds. Think of John 15. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." We also know in Isaiah 1, which was read a few moments ago, God told Israel, "Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." And in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and following, we read this: For the grace of God has appeared, for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this life, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ," watch this, "who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity, to purify for Himself a people of His own who are zealous for good deeds." You know the reason Jesus came to die for you? Was it only to save you? Well, He did die to save you, but His purpose was that He might redeem you to be a people who are zealous for good deeds. This is God's promise, or this is God's purpose for our lives. What's that word zealous mean? In the Greek, it's the word zelotes, from which we get zeal. Burning with zeal for good deeds. To contend for something. It means to be marked with forceful, deeply felt energy for good deeds. And I want to ask you, is this your life? Does it characterize you? Am I describing you? Well, this, as we've seen, is God's purpose for us. You know, we heard about that book and that big craze, The Purpose-Driven Life. 30 million copies sold because people are seeking purpose in your life. I'll tell you, the search is over. We don't need any other books, although that may be good or not good, that other one. But the purpose for you here, He redeemed you to be a people zealous for good deeds, marked with a forceful, deeply felt energy where you are driven and want to do this. And why is that? It's because we're God's children, and God is our Father, and we're to share His heart, right? You know that God is good? It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," Psalm 34. Psalm 147, "God heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds." Isaiah 61, prophesying of Jesus, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And in Acts chapter 10, Peter says that that verse was referring to Christ. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There's this crazy idea out there in the world that God is simply a God of words, of mere words. He just says, go in peace and be filled. I want you to know something today. Like God was speaking to me especially last night. He says, I am a man of action. He's not a God of mere words. He is a God of words, yes, but he's a God who puts flesh on it and acts. And that's what he wants for us as people to be. Not couch potatoes. We're not on a cruise ship here in a country club. We're on a battleship. God wants us to serve and to serve with honor for great things and noble things. And it's his will for us. It's his purpose for us. And this is what his kingdom's about. So, that being said, we need to make a careful distinction as always. And forgive me if this sounds like we're repeating ourselves, but you have to know this distinction once again today. Why do we do good deeds? It's not in order to be saved, but because we have been saved, right? Let's say I'm a conquering hero. I come in and I set the captives free, and I give each and every one of you a sword and say, follow me in my army. Are you serving in that army in order to break yourself free from the prison? No, you're serving because you have been set free. He proclaimed liberty. He sets you free. He enlists you for great and noble things. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. But then we're not saved by good works, but for them. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I want to ask you again, does this characterize your life? Or has it kind of grown hazy and dim, and you're still mindful of it, and you still agree, but you're not quite zelotes, zealous, heartfelt, driven energy? I think we all need restoral and renewal in these kinds of things. Our good works do give witness to our faith. I by my works will show you my faith, says James. John 15, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And so I'm thankful that I serve in a congregation where you do do good. You do love one another. But my desire is that you would do so more and more. So why are good works necessary? What happens to a church that just figures, we've arrived, we're here, and we just kick back, and we don't continue to be zealous for serving? Well, once in 109 AD, the Romans built an aqueduct from the mountains all the way down to a place called Segovia, Spain. And that water flowed down, and that aqueduct remained for 1,800 years. It fed generation after generation after generation with the flowing mountains, the water down into the streams, down the aqueduct to this town and village. Well, it just so happened a little while ago that that generation in this place in Spain, Segovia, decided we're going to preserve this aqueduct for future generations. We're going to stop its flow and turn it into a museum so it'll be preserved forever. We'll preserve it from this 1,800 years of service and bringing water to us. We're going to lay iron pipes, and we're going to retire the aqueduct. You know what happened to the Roman aqueduct built in 109? It got dry, the mortar fell apart, the stones crumbled, and the thing fell to pieces because it ceased to serve. I'll tell you, this same thing happens to any church that ceases to be zealous for good deeds, right? If you go about your life and you don't ever strengthen or use your muscles go, hey, he doesn't need me anymore, I'm going away, right? Same thing happens with your boat engine, right? You don't use your boat engine for 2 years. You try to crank it over, it says, I'm not getting up this morning, right? Same thing happens with relationships. If we don't tend to them, same thing happens with churches. Friends, it's either we sink or we swim. Either we are growing or we are dying. Either we're building up or we're tearing down. And I'm thankful we are growing and building. My desire is to do so more and more, for God can see our faith by our works. He says to the church in Sardis in Revelation 3, I know your works. I know your works. You have the name of being alive and you're dead. Awake and strengthen what remains and as I'm on the point of death, for I've not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. That's a stern rebuke. Can you imagine that being said to us? Well, then he also looks and sees the good in Thyatira. He says, I know your works, church in Thyatira, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. So God looks and sees these things in us. And so we ought to remember what happened to Israel, to the Jews. In Matthew 21:43, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the, what? The fruits of it. So God does look down on our works, and he wants us to be serving. We're not saved by our works. We're not preserved by our works. But our works do give witness to our faith. And guess what? When we're serving, when we're out there ministering to people, visiting, when we're doing our love for one another in our homes and our families, to strangers, God is renewing us and giving us the excitement of the faith and renewing our hope until the end. So, what's good service look like? What does good service look like? Well, how about the story of the Boy Scouts? You know, they have this idea, do a good deed daily, do a good turn daily. Well, once upon a time, these three Boy Scouts came into the Scoutmaster at the Scout meeting. And he said, have you three boys done your good deeds today? He said, yes, we've all done our good deed. We helped a lady across the street. In fact, all three of us helped the same lady. And the Scoutmaster said, what? How come it took three of you to do this one deed? How could you do all? They said, because she didn't want to go. Is that what good deeds are about? Simply doing our checklist, saying we've done them? Our good deeds are really that we ought to be helping cases of urgent need. Whenever it thunders, you know, to be helping cases of urgent need. And we see this is exactly what Jesus does. He gives us the example. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. How do you do that? Do you do that standing up? To do that, you've got to kneel down and get low. It's a humble thing to serve. It's a sacrificial thing to serve. And when Jesus stood up after supper, he says, this, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This is what our lives are to be about. What's it look like? Well, do you have to wear a clerical collar? No. Do you have to be serving in church all the time? Do you have to be here doing potlucks and all these things? That's fine too. But Christian service, my friends, is everything that we do in life for the glory of God, out of love for God, and love for our neighbor, to do help. There was once a woman who put a sign over her sink saying, divine service here conducted 3 times daily. Washing dishes. Do you think God accepts that? Yes. He tells slaves in Colossians and other places, do your work as a slave honestly, as if you're serving the Lord, and from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Even if you give a cup of cold water to someone because he bears my name, Jesus says, you'll not lose your reward. And we also see other pictures of what God calls good. Jesus says in Matthew 25, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, visit the sick, which I've seen you guys doing. Sometimes I arrive to visit somebody and 4 or 5 of you already been there. I didn't even ask you to go. John the Baptist says, him who has 2 coats, let him share with him who has none. Tax collectors, what should you do? Be honest in what you're collecting. Don't collect more than you're supposed to. Soldiers, what should you do? Do your duty and don't be greedy, but be content with your wages. And Micah 6, I love this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? You don't have to sell everything you have and move to Zimbabwe and be a missionary there to serve the Lord. Although if God calls you to that, that's great too. But God has called us to everything we do, to be zealous and having our eyes open for these opportunities. And the best work of all, John 6, people ask Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus says in answer to that, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And that's the best work of all, isn't it? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like we say up here, to know Christ. That's the best thing of all. And then what do we do after that? We make him known in our words and our deeds and our actions while living a life of good. Zealous for him. Do you think you can serve him? Are you qualified today? Let me give a list of qualifications from some of the people in the Bible here. Noah got drunk. God used him. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Leah wasn't pretty. Joseph was abused. Moses had a speech impediment. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a harlot. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Jonah ran away from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha was too worried. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul too religious. And Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And yet all these if you're alive, you got a lot on Lazarus, okay? God can call you from any of your sins and your weaknesses, and he qualifies those whom he calls. He doesn't call people who are already qualified. If you don't feel fit for service, well, praise God, none of us are. But God then brings us into his kingdom, sets us free, puts a sword in our hands and says, come follow me, and let's do good in this world. That's what the whole kingdom's about. This isn't a cruise ship. This is a battleship that we're a part of. And sometimes we forget. I remember when I was a boy probably around 14 or so, I remember actually going to my bedside and kneeling and asking God to make me a knight, a warrior, a soldier for him. And I really wanted to lay down my life for what's good. And I've had to be restored and restored and restored and restored to that. I keep forgetting that, but God keeps coming back to me and saying, remember who you are. Remember who I am. Remember the quest to which you've been called. And he's going to do the same for you, to restore us. Remember Don Quixote de la Mancha? The story there with him? He was a knight. He was a warrior. He fought for the quest to do what's right, to love people chased from afar and all these things. And then later in his life, he fought what was called reality in the musical. And he forgot. And at the end, he's an old man lying there. And Dulcinea comes up to him and says, don't you remember? And he says, I don't know you, lady. And then she says, but you spoke of a dream and about the quest. And he goes, the quest, the words. Tell me the words. And she says, to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go. And then eventually he remembers, and he's restored, and he comes back, and he stands up, and he says, what is illness to the night held? What matter wounds? When each time he falls, he shall rise again, and woe to the wicked. Sancho, my armor and my sword. Well, this is us. Every day we're being led astray by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, by those three sirens of ancient mythology that call to us, come over here, sailor. Come over here. Follow after us. Forget your calling. Have you forgotten? We need to hear the louder trumpet call, just like Orpheus in the days of mythology, who played louder than the sirens, and the people were able to steer their ships safe by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know what I'm saying? Do you need to be restored today? What does God tell you? Follow me. Remember who you are. Remember who I am. Remember that to which I've called you. And by the way, you're aiming toward eternal glory. It's the only thing you can take with you in life. Your good deeds. Did you know that? When you die, you can't take your health. You can maybe work your whole life for your health and your strength. You're going to lose it eventually. You could work your whole life for a house, for building an earthly empire, for clothing, for a car, for a boat, for honor, for titles, for money, and all these things will be lost, for there's never a U-Haul behind a hearse, right? But there is something you can send down ahead of you, namely your good deeds, as it says in Revelation chapter 7, blessed are those who die in the Lord henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, for their deeds follow them. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right? Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we do not lose heart. Do you know that if you are an earthly soldier, you're going to serve, and when you get done with that, you're going to receive a medal of honor for your service in that particular arena? And if earthly governments are going to do this for you, how much more the heavenly government is going to give you with honor? God is looking to do this. He wants to. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. So we ought to be renewed in this. And God forgives us as we repent and come back to him. And God grant us a renewal of strength in these things, in those acts of service where he teaches us about love, about humility, about increasing our faith through the miracles. As he shows up wherever we go, there he is also. And where the master is, there shall the servant be. And he shows us the joy of sacrifice. Can I share with you a short video? I don't usually, in fact, I've never done this before, and we've not been the kind of church that has the big screen like a lot of them do. If some of you have trouble seeing the words in here, I'll actually say them out loud as we go through it, okay? Too often people evaluate a church like a cruise ship. Do I like the music they play in the ballroom? Do I like the captain and his crew? Is the service good? Are my needs met? Is my cruise pleasant? Is it comfortable? Do I want to sail with them again next Sunday? But perhaps the better metaphor is made with a battleship. Is the ship on a clear and noble mission? Does the captain submit to a higher authority? Are crew members equipped to succeed? Are they able to contribute in significant ways? Are they honored for their efforts? How do you choose? How should you choose? So what are we? Cruise ship?
Battleship.
All right, so my challenge to you then this week is... good. Tonight or tomorrow, sometime by tomorrow evening, spend about 20 minutes with the Lord and actually write down on a piece of paper asking him, well, all those opportunities that he might give you to serve, to open your eyes, to see the good that you can do all around you. And then this week, between now and next Sunday, act on and do three of those things on your list. And hopefully this will be something God continues to work with you, because he has redeemed us, my people, my friends, to be a people who are zealous for good deeds.
How many opportunities?
Huh? As many as you can, and then do three of them.
Do three.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Okay, at this time, we are going to be receiving new members in lieu of the Apostles' Creed, because we'll be reciting that as we do the new member reception. I'll ask Kevin and Millette Fraley to come forward, and we'll receive them. No, you're good.